this dying world could use is a willing man of God, who dares to go against the grain and works without a cause.
A man who raised the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure.
God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say.
He doesn't need authorities to reason him away.
He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men.
Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men.
God doesn't need
been
renewed,
to have the strength to stand up for the truth. Enlistment lines are open and he wants you to come in. Jesus needs a few good men.
Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men.
The broken derelict who knows it's been renewed.
And he calls the one who has the strength to stand up for the truth. Enlistment lines are open and he wants you to come in. 'Cause Jesus needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. Of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. Just needs a few good men.
just needs a few good men.
But yet lives right across the driveway. Praise the Lord. Brother Hurst.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's getting to look like an eyeglass store up here. If you're missing eyeglasses, if they step much longer, we'll just invite you, if you need glasses, to come up and have a discounted pair here. Amen. I shared this morning the story from junior high when the girls let me know that they did not like to see the boys fighting, you know, punching one another. But I have a feeling tonight, as you mothers and wives saw the men ministering in the service, singing in the choir, I think that was meaningful to you. I think women do like to see their man involved in worship. Amen. And I appreciate her, man. Thank you, Brother Steve, for leading the service. All those of you that had a part. I know the trio practiced hard, and it's all been good. It's been a good day. And I believe the Lord has ministered to us. And we're going to share from the Word one more time. And we didn't orchestrate this service. We're Pentecostals. We just depend on everyone that has a part to go pray and let the Lord put the service together. But Brother Steve has already read my text for the evening. But if you would turn with me to Joshua 24 and verse 15, I want to share with you more briefly tonight than I did this morning, but much along the same theme. I appreciate the men of our church. I appreciate this church. And we're not in the comparison game, but I have been in churches across the nation, and God has blessed us, and people have responded and have joined their hearts together to be a part of this work that's here. Amen. We appreciate that. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, you can stand. I never make things too personal, but I haven't mentioned my father, but I want to tell you, I've told you different stories, but he's a very quiet man, and he has been deacon and different things in the church, but very quiet, never out front. But the tremendous influence he had on my life was every morning that I could remember growing up that I ever woke up, and he got up early, 4:30. Before work, he would be reading his Bible and praying before he went to work. And his faithfulness to the house of God and his faithfulness to pray, that had tremendous influence. He could have been a talker and not had the influence that he had on my life and my spiritual development. I appreciate fathers like that. I say that to encourage others. You may not have the abilities necessarily to teach a Sunday school class or sing or any of that, but you can have a tremendous spiritual impact on your children and on your family. Amen. Joshua 24, verse 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You go ahead and choose, but I've already made my choice, he said. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I know Joshua, he accomplished some great things, but I don't want us to forget for a moment that he was a man just like any of us, flesh and blood man like any of us. The thing that set him apart was this declaration of determination. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to maybe surprise you with the title tonight, but I want to preach tonight with this thought. It is about me. It is about me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Barbara Bush, the wife of our first George Bush president, made this statement. She said, success does not depend on what happens at the White House, but on what happens at your house. I really believe that. I'm certain of that. Now, I've entitled this tonight, It Is About Me. You'll remember a while back that theme kept showing up in the sermons that I preached, because so much of this church world makes church and serving God and all of that a very narcissistic, self-serving, bless me, help me thing. And I've preached about that pretty firmly, that in the kingdom of God, it's really not about me. It's about His kingdom and the advancement of His kingdom. But tonight, and we even showed the parody one time, you might remember, you know, where the guy sang the medley, It's About Me, I Exalt Me, and all of that. And that has gotten a hold of the church. But I want to make a different point tonight. And I want to say, at least for tonight is concerned, it is about me. I'm talking about my family now. It is about me. If I don't get me right, my family won't be right. I'm speaking as a father, as a husband to our men tonight. If I don't get me right, my family won't get right. If I don't decide for me, I sure can't decide for my family. But as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Could you show us that text again, Brother Durr? Thank you for your help. But you know, we so often when we read this, especially the declaration, it's in the latter part of the verse. We read this from the point of a man that's saying, I'm deciding for my family. My family's going to serve the Lord. I'm the dad and I'm going to decide and my family's going to listen to me. We read it from that point of view. I'm the big man and I'm making the decisions for this family. But notice how his declaration begins. It doesn't begin talking about his family. It begins talking about himself. He begins that declaration, but as for me. I want to tell us tonight, fathers, if our families serve the Lord, dads, it's going to start with the me. It's going to start with the me. You must decide that you are going to serve the Lord before you can decide for your family. Now make no mistake, God intends for the husband, he intends for the father to decide for the family. That is the role he wants a man to play, to make that spiritual decision for his family. But as a father, as a husband, before I can decide for my family, before I can say my house is going to serve the Lord, I've got to come to that point that I say, but as for me, wait, we'll get to the family. But as for me, I will serve the Lord. It begins with the me. This isn't about beat the chest bravado that says, bless God, I'm the head of this house and my family's going to do what I tell them. This isn't a boast to say, you know, other families aren't doing so well, but me and my family, we're kind of superior and we're going to succeed where other families fail because we've made this declaration. It's not about this. This is about a humble conviction, a humble passion. Where a man says, I'm going to get myself right so my family can be right. I'm going to serve God with passion so my family can serve God with passion. I'm going to stand for truth so my family will. That's what kind of declaration it is. You know, in one sense, fathers, men, you can't really decide for your family in the sense that each person, when they come to knowledge, they must decide for themselves. How many realizes that every child, every person, your spouse, in the end, they must decide for themselves. And so in one sense, a father cannot decide for his family. But in another sense, he can, because the nature of the family is that as a rule, if dad will choose to serve the Lord, the wife and children will follow suit. I know there's exception, but the nature of the family is if dad really means business, if dad, his heart is really set and passionate about serving the Lord, the nature of the family is that the spouse and the children will follow suit. And so Joshua is saying, I have decided to serve the Lord. My family knows I mean business. They can see the difference in my life. And because I've decided to serve the Lord, my family's going to follow my example and my leadership. I remember one time a man that had been out in sin came to me and he said, I'm so concerned about my wife and my children. They're not saved. I don't want them to be lost. I want them to serve the Lord. And I said to him, I remember this so clearly. I called him by name and I almost did that by mistake right then. But I called him by name and I said, listen, as dad and as husband, if you will serve the Lord with all your heart, don't miss a church service, don't miss a revival service. If you will serve God with all your heart, I truly believe that your wife and your children will come to know the Lord. In fact, I said, I told him, I kind of feel like your family's just waiting to see if you really got the right thing this time. If you really mean business, or if this is just a fly-by-night thing. I think your family is just waiting for you to prove yourself. He said, I'll do that. I'll never forget those months that he went by. He was faithful to God's house every service. He got in passionately. He prayed. He was true to God. It wasn't long. His children began to come with him to church. I saw them at Camp Dove praying and weeping. They got saved. It wasn't long after that we had a revival service and his wife got saved. I mean, it was a tremendous, exciting thing to watch. Dad had chosen. Dad was faithful. And before long, his children are saved. And his wife is saved. It was a tremendous time. But then as I have seen, to my dismay and amazement, it wasn't long till his family, his wife and children got in, that he began to slip back to his old ways. I went to him and I said, listen, I want to tell you what's going to happen. If you don't get in and serve God, you're going to lose your children and you're going to lose your wife, your home and your marriage. Oh, I know. But he would never get back to where he was. And I want to tell you tonight, he's lost his wife and he's lost his children. Because in the nature of the family, there's no more powerful influence on a family for serving God than when dad makes it about me in the sense he says, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be passionate. I'm going to put my heart into this thing. No man can expect his wife and children to serve the Lord if he doesn't. There's no sense for a man to stay home tonight and say, I wish my wife would get in church. Right? Now, thank God there are exceptions. I'm not saying there are wives that have unsaved husbands. There are children that have unsaved parents. But I'm talking about, and as a rule, no man should ever expect his wife and children to serve the Lord, be any more spiritual than he is. No man should desire anything greater than that his wife and his children serve the Lord. I haven't been able to get away from it lately, and I'm so thankful when my children text me today to wish me and called me and to wish me a happy Father's Day. I responded, thank you so much. And then I put the scripture in. As a father, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. That's whatever father ought to desire. More than his children be a success in career. More than his children make great grades at school. And all of that. The desire of every father is that his children would serve the Lord. It's about me. I can never expect that. I can never desire that of my children until I get it in my own heart. I want to serve the Lord. I want to please the Lord. It begins there. It starts with me. I cannot lead my family where I as dad have not been. I cannot expect my family to desire of God what I do not desire. I cannot expect my family to be what I am not. I can't expect my family to attend church regularly if I do not. I cannot expect my family to worship if I don't worship. I can't expect my family to read their Bibles if I don't read mine. I can't expect my family to control what they watch and they read if I don't control what I watch and what I read. It is about me. I'm telling you, a wife that has a husband should never have to make the spiritual decisions for a family. Amen. It should never be. I'm telling you what, a woman should never have to ask her husband to go to church with her. It ought to be the dad taking the lead. I'm telling you, dad ought to make sure his kids are in Sunday school as much as he would Monday school, Tuesday school, Wednesday school, and so on. I mean, you know, here you got a dad. How would that go if on a Monday morning his kids went in and said, Dad, I don't think I want to go to school today. I just don't feel like it. What would that dad do? He said, you're going to school. Let's take your temperature. You don't have to. You're going to school. Why does it work that way on Monday but not on Sunday? On Sunday, the kids say, well, Dad, I just don't really want to go today. All right. Well, you don't have much time on a weekend. Go ahead and sleep. No. As certainly as a dad makes sure that they're in Monday school, he ought to make sure they're in Sunday. Well, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. How your family is doing. I'm speaking to we men, and this is our day. Amen. But how your family is doing is dependent on how the me is doing in your life. Spiritual me. Amen. Amen. I'm going to do this in just a moment. I've laid all that foundation to make three quick points. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The missionary E. Stanley Jones said, if you don't make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you. If you don't make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you. I may not even be preaching to anyone here tonight. It may be someone on the internet that will listen to the sermon some other time. But I wish there was some man that wasn't living for God right now would realize the responsibility he has for his spouse and his children, and that very probably if he doesn't get right, his wife won't get right and his children will never be. I wish some man right now would have his heart dealt with by the Holy Spirit and just make up his mind tonight that I'm going to serve the Lord, so that I can say to my house, we will serve him together. This statement, I'm not expositing, I'm just giving you some thoughts from it. This statement, number one, is a statement of direction. The direction, the intent. So many fathers, they can't choose the direction their family is going to head in life because they've never chosen the direction they're going to head. You choose a direction your family will go down. Your family will head, as certainly as you do when you're the driver of the family automobile. Dad's behind the wheel in the car. His wife's sitting beside him. The kids are in the back seat. Because dad's at the wheel, he chooses where that vehicle goes. He chooses the direction of that vehicle. That's just a simple illustration, but I've thought of that so many times as a father and as a pastor, in a sense of a leader. I'm behind the wheel, and that thing's going to head where I point it. Amen? And this is a statement of direction. Joshua said, I'm behind the wheel, but I'll tell you one thing, being behind the wheel, I'm going to point this automobile in the direction of heaven. Hallelujah. I know children grow up and they drive their own cars, but when they're young, they're in the back seat and they're going to go where dad goes. And very likely, they're going to watch the way dad drives, for good or bad, naturally. But they're going to watch the way dad drives and they're going to end up driving a whole lot like that. You don't believe that? You can take a toddler and put him on a play car and get him behind a wheel, and he's going to say the same things dad does when dad drives the real vehicle. Think about it. How many knows we set the direction? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a declaration of determination. Here's what Joshua was saying. It hadn't all been easy. And he knew things weren't all going to be easy in the future. He knew what he was facing, the battles that were ahead, and the cities and the enemy that they would encounter. But you see, when he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, he was making a statement of determination. He was saying, whatever happens, whatever our family goes through, our family may face financial problems. Our family may face sickness. Our family may go through storms. Our family may have disappointments. Our family may have losses. Our family may have grief. But we've made up our minds. We are determined. We're going to serve the Lord whatever happens. I am determined to hold out to the end. Whatever happens, the decisions are remade. And we're determined. We're going to go through it. Hallelujah. You know why people don't serve the Lord? Don't give me this. It's because they've had a bad rap in life and they've had losses and they have financial. People don't serve the Lord because they don't want to serve the Lord. Because you can go to heaven and the things people use as excuses to not serve the Lord, you can go to heaven and find people that face the very same calamities and catastrophes, but they serve the Lord because they made up their mind. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a statement of determination. It's a statement, it's a declaration of devotion. You know, I notice, and I know it's a simple thing. Brother, can you put that text right back up there for me again? I know it's a simple thing, But you know, this is a time when they went to the tabernacle and they offered sacrifices and they blew trumpets and they had incense and they sprinkled blood and they poured out oil. I want you to notice, Joshua never said, but as for me and my house, we'll offer sacrifices. He didn't say, but as for me and my house, we'll go to the tabernacle. He didn't say, but as for me and my house, we'll pour out drink offerings, oil on the altar. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes, notice, he did not make it about religion. He did not make it about rituals. He made it about a relationship with the person of the Creator, Redeemer, God. And that's the way it must be with our families. Amen. But as for me, I'm not doing the churchy thing. I'm doing the relationship with God thing. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. With our children, we can't make it just this ritualistic thing. Well, bless God. You know, yes, we need to attend church. But it's not just the ritual of attending church. The kids need to hear from Dad, oh, I love the Lord. That's what they need to hear. Not just, well, we're going to be in church every time the doors are open. That's good. But it's got to move beyond the ritual. They've got to hear from Dad, I love the Lord. They've got to see Dad worshiping God with love and joy. It's about devotion. Always. Dads, we must realize that if we don't choose God, we will choose something else. That's what he said. He said, you know, I'd like for you to choose the Lord. Amen. But if not, choose you whom you're going to serve. It's not that you can choose to serve God or not serve anything. He said you're going to choose God or you're going to serve one of these other gods. And it's that way in human nature. It's not that we just choose God or not choose him. It's that we choose God or we choose something else to serve. I don't know how you feel. I've chosen to serve the Lord. You say no to the world. Say no to all those other thing. I've chosen to serve the Lord. Why? Because it's more than religion. It's about a relationship with him. Would you come, music tonight? Hallelujah. I'm not sure how to bring this across, but let me just share it. One of the sad things to watch, I'm so glad they serve the Lord. One of the sad things to watch is a young man, especially when he gets to be a teenager, attempting to serve the Lord with no father figure in his life. I'm not saying they don't have a father, but many times that father has no interest in spiritual things. That father makes no attempt to serve the Lord. And to watch that young man as a teenager struggle without that father figure of serving the Lord. I've been, and I want everyone just to take this generically, because I'm getting just a bit personal here to share this. But through the years, on several occasions, I've watched one of those young men begin to slip away from God, begin to head towards the world. I can take you to places around our campus here where I've sat different of those young men down. I would do nothing to belittle their father. I just said honestly to them, let's be honest, your father does not serve God. He's not interested in the things of God. I wouldn't bring anything up to hurt anyone, but I've called attention to the fact that the home is broken and there's been hurt and there's been this. And then I've looked at the young man and said, but the pattern can be broken with you. You may have not had that father figure, but you can determine in your heart that you're going to serve the Lord. And I said, if you'll do that, if you'll really do that, God will give you a wonderful young lady to be your wife. And one day you'll sit on a pew in our church and you'll put your arm around a godly wife and you'll look down that pew and see godly young children sitting there beside you. You didn't have that, but you'll be able to give to them what you never had. It's got to get started somewhere. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You can break the pattern. Not all of them have listened to my advice, but some of them have. And I'm so grateful to be able to look out in different times and see someone that's made up their mind to serve God. It will make a difference. How many knows it will make a difference? Don't you like to see it when the pattern's broken? Maybe it's been for generations Dad didn't serve the Lord. Dad was a marriage breaker. Dad was an adulterer. Dad was a drunkard. Dad was, and for generations, no one served the Lord. And the poor children suffered. They had no leader, spiritual leader. They had no example. But it gets in some young man's heart. It might have been that way with my father, my grandfather, maybe my great, but it's going to stop here in this family name, because I will serve the Lord. I'm going to get it right with me, and God's going to move, and pretty soon I'm going to have a godly family, and we're going to serve the Lord. Don't you think that pleases God? Hallelujah. If you made up your mind, men, to serve the Lord, I want you to stand right where you're at and say, but as for me, listen, young men, go ahead and stand. Young men, you may not have a family yet. I can tell you don't have a wife yet. But I wonder how many of these young men would stand and say, I don't have a wife yet. I don't have a kid yet. But I'm going to start right here tonight. And I'm going to work on the me and say, but as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. And then when my wife comes or my children come, and then I can say, and my family too, we're going to serve the Lord together. Oh, hallelujah. Men, would you lift your hands? Ladies, would you stand with us tonight? Let's thank God for this wonderful thing of faith in God, of knowing God, of experiencing God, of knowing the change He makes in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, in our families. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. He'll bring it together. He'll bring a family together. He'll give you the spouse. But start with the me. I'm going to serve the Lord till He brings the family. I'm going to serve the Lord till He brings the spouse. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I've been talking to the men. But ladies, tonight, if that's your desire to serve the Lord, I want to invite all of you, men, women, boys, girls, if tonight you can say, that's my declaration, but as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord, would you come and fill the altars? And maybe as the church is coming, you're here, you've never made that commitment yet. You've never totally surrendered your heart and life to God. But tonight the Spirit's tugging at your heart. And you're coming tonight to say, Lord, I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my future. I'm giving you my heart. I'm beginning with me. As for me, I will serve the Lord. When the family comes, they'll be a part of that. But I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. Would you come? Hallelujah.
You saw.
Hallelujah.
There were times.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's it. Come on, let's pray tonight. Oh, only you can make that declaration. Nobody can make that declaration for you. No one can make that declaration for you. But as for me, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord.
And you felt alone. It must have been so hard to see His plan.
Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord.
Think about the way you carried on.
Serve the Lord. Oh, let's seek Him in His altar.
Face of persecution.
Oh, hallelujah.
You stood strong.
Oh, hallelujah.
I will follow.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Fighting the good fight. Standing on my faith. I will name Jesus. I will give Him all my life.
Oh, hallelujah. Would you not seek the Lord tonight?
Follow Christ.
Me and only you can answer for you.
Christ, and I will run the race. Fighting the good fight. Standing on my faith.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe God's doing something divine tonight. Let's seek Him in His altar. There's some folks making some decisions. Hallelujah. God is talking.
Have to look,
oh, hallelujah.
Across the ages.